We'll continue our study in the book of Micah tonight. We're going to try to get through chapters 2 and 3. You remember last week we talked about the meaning of Micah's name is who is like Jehovah? Who is like Jehovah? Of course, that's a rhetorical question because nobody's like Jehovah. We have a God that is unique. We have a God that does things that other gods cannot do, do not have the power to do. We have a God that does wonders, as the psalmist talked about. And you remember the little outline I gave you last week? Just real simple, judgment now, blessings later, need to repent now. Judgment now, blessings later, and the blessings later we're going to talk about when we talk about chapter 4 and 5, it's talking about the Messiah coming and setting up his kingdom and his rule on earth. But that the people still have a chance, and again, Mike is talking to Judah, as opposed to the southern kingdom, as opposed to the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. I mentioned last week when Micah was written, the northern kingdom had already passed the point of no return. There was nothing they could do to stop God's judgment. Judah still had a chance. They still had a chance to repent. And that's why Micah and Isaiah were on the scene delivering this message. And so last week we started with the judgment now is chapters 1 through 3. And so we're going to finish it up tonight talking about in chapters 2 and 3. And we'll find as we start chapter 2 that the judgment was made necessary because of the rulers. The priest and the government rulers and the false prophets that were on the scene in Jerusalem at that particular time were arrogant. They were not preaching the truth. We'll see in a little bit that they actually told Micah and others like him, Isaiah and the other true prophets, to be quiet. They didn't want him to preach the message of judgment. And so we'll start out tonight by Micah's rebuke to those leaders and telling those leaders, says, hey, basically he's pointing his finger in their face and says, you're the reason that this judgment is coming because what you have done. So look at chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. What he's saying is, you have the rulers and the priests and the false prophets that lay awake at night and they plan evil. They say, what can we do next? How can we get more of the people's property? How can we get more of the people's goods? And so they plan it at night when they're laying on their beds, and when they get up in the morning, they do it simply because they have the power to do it. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, but simply because they have the power to do it, they do it. Of course, they control the judges, they control the court system, they control the laws. And so they had the power to do it, and they do it. Verse 2, and they covet fields and take them by violence and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. They look at people's houses, and they say, well, I want that. They just take them. They look at his lands. Say, well, I'd like that. Sort of like King Ahab did Okay, somebody help me. Brother Leonard, who was that guy? Naboth, thank you, Naboth. It's sort of like Ahab did to Naboth. Oh, you got a nice vineyard. I want it. That's what these rulers did. And I would remind you that back in those days, people's lands were part of their inheritance, and they were very important that they stay in the family. I mean, they had laws that helped them keep their lands in their families. And for somebody to come and take your inheritance, to take your land, it was a high crime. I mean, it not only went against the law of the day, but it went against the laws that God had given them for the passage of property and his desire to keep it in families. And so these rulers were engaged, and they didn't worry about how it made the people feel. They did not worry that if they take their houses away, they would be homeless. They didn't care. And Micah was saying, hey, you want to know why the judgment of God is coming? It's because you've been so arrogant to think that you can steal from his people without any regard for punishment. God's going to show you that he's still in charge. Verse 3, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye be haughty, for this time is evil. And what God is saying, look, I'm going to teach you a lesson. What you have done to others, I have done to you. I will do to you. And I will put you in a yoke. And again, that's an instrument that an oxen wore or a horse wore to pull the plow. And you're not going to be able to get out of it. You will not be able to remove your necks from that yoke. This is going to be a time of evil. And you won't be haughty anymore. You won't have a chance to be arrogant because I'm taking everything away from you. Not only your power, but your property, just like you've done to other people. In that, verse 4, in that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. The enemy was going to take up a taunt against the nation of Judah and say, well, you thought you were so strong, you thought you were so powerful, look at you now. You are going to be destroyed. And there's nothing that you can do to stop it. God's going to take their fields, and just like they had taken away the fields from others, and utterly spoil it. And when he's talking about changing the portion of my people, he's talking about taking away their property, taking away their inheritance. And so, I mean, we can see right here the proverb working out that as they have done to others, so God was going to pay them back and do it to them. And isn't it ironic? Somehow, sometimes that's how God punishes us. He lets us experience what we have dished out, and especially when we've done wrong. See, and I almost can hear him say sometimes, you want to know how it feels to other people? When you're unkind, you want to know how it feels to other people when you do something that puts them, takes something away from them? I'm going to show you. I'm going to let it come into your world, into your existence, so you can see the pain that it causes. Verse 5, therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. The cord that's talking about in that verse is the surveyor's line. And what God is saying is, you won't have any needs for surveyors anymore. You won't need to measure and divide the land among your descendants anymore because you're not going to have it. It's going to be taken away from you. Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. The rich, the rulers, the priests, the false prophets are rising up against God's prophets, men like Micah, men like Isaiah, and they're saying, don't prophesy. Don't speak this message of judgment. Don't deliver God's message. I mean, I'm sure they said, you know, nobody wants to hear you. All you're talking about is judgment. All you're talking about, what you're talking about is discouraging. Just be quiet. Don't talk about it. What they wanted God's prophets to do is what the false prophets of that day were doing. Well, let's give the people a feel-good message. Let's make them feel good. You know, something good, and I don't want, if you're, some of you are a fan of the guy that used to say this, I don't mean to insult you, but let's preach this message. Something good is going to happen to you today. And I'm dating myself. Some you probably, Hannah has no idea who I'm talking about, but some of you that are as old as I do. Yeah, something good's going to happen to you today. Don't worry about the judgment of God. Don't worry about the retribution of God. Don't deliver his message. And I'll just remind you, same thing's happened today. I mean, they're in the process of passing laws. If we preach against certain sins, they're going to call it hate crime. I mean, they're going to, you know, they'll come after preachers that call homosexuality a sin. And they'll say, oh, no, you're just stirring up hate against those people. Well, the truth is, we love the people. It's the sin that we hate. and the sin that God hates. God loves the people. It's the sin that he hates. And we're in the same position and condition that they were in Micah's day. Don't deliver the hard message of God. Just talk to us about how God is love. And talk to us about how God loves us and what he's done to prove that love to us. I mean, you have churches. I don't know if you've seen the billboard, but we got a postcard, maybe you did too, about this church that's starting 913 somewhere. They actually sent us a survey. What would you like in a church? Check these boxes. There wasn't even a box on there that says preach against sin. I mean, you know, people are starting churches, they take surveys. Tell me what you want to hear, and that's what I'll preach. I can say I've never asked anybody one time, what do you think I ought to preach, at least the people that are sitting out here. I've spent a lot of time asking God what to preach, but we don't pass out surveys. I don't get my sermons approved by anybody, and don't intend to. I mean, I'll have to leave if you pass that as a bylaw or something. But it's like, you know, the people were saying, hey, tell us what we want to hear. And that's what the Bible talks about in the last times. People have itching ears. They want somebody to rub their ears and tell them what they want to hear. And again, I've used this illustration before. You don't go to a doctor that tells you what you want to hear. You go to a doctor and you want him to tell you the truth. You may not like what he tells you, but when he tells you the truth, at least you know what to do to improve the condition that you're in. I mean, you know, I never liked my doctor to tell me I need to lose weight. He tells me every time I go, you need to lose 20 pounds. 20 pounds, 20 pounds. I don't like that. It's insulting. He needs to lose 20 pounds. I'd like to tell him he needs to lose 20 pounds. But I don't. But I'd rather have the truth than him say, oh, everything's okay, your blood pressure's good, your cholesterol's good, just, you know, eat all the Snickers you want, eat all the cake you want. I don't want that. I want him to tell me the truth so that, you know, I can have some encouragement to change. Now, I want you to notice verse 7. Micah says this, look, I hear you. I hear you tell me to quit preaching. I hear you tell me to quit talking about judgment. But it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to keep doing it. Look at what verse 7 says. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Is God going to be restrained? Just because you tell me to, you think God's going to hold back? If I don't deliver it, somebody else will. Jesus said one time, you know, if the message doesn't go out by preachers, I'll get the rocks to declare it. He said, God's not going to be straightened. He's not going to be restrained. Are these his doings? And Mike is again asking a rhetorical question. Yes, these are his doings. This is his message. Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? In other words, what Mike is saying is, those that will listen and obey God, my words are good to them. They want to know what God says. They want their sins to be preached against. Because as they hear from God, they will obey. And as they obey, God will bless. And it will end up for good for them. Just like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says you need to lose weight. You lose weight, you feel better. That's what Mike is saying. Hey, the people that want to hear from God and listen to God and obey God, my words are good to them. And and the same principle holds true today. If you're not going to be obedient to this book, and I got to be careful how I say this, you'd be better off not to read it. Now, I think you ought to read the Bible, but I think you ought to decide when you read it that you're going to obey it. As you're reading the Bible, or you hear it taught in a Sunday school lesson, or you hear it preached, don't harden your neck. I mean, God comes after his children that harden their neck, that are stubborn. And you know, he's trying to make us fit for heaven. And so when we rebel against him and say, well, this book's not smorgasbord. You can't pick and choose. Well, I'll do that and that, but you can't do that. It's the whole counsel of God. And again, if you're not going to be obedient, it'd be better not to hear. Because as you hear, you are more accountable. The more of God's word you know, and the more of God's word you're exposed to, and the more principles that you are taught, the more accountable God holds us. And so we just need the attitude that says, hey, whatever he says, I'm going to do. Whatever this book says, I'm going to decide right now. I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm not going to do the things I like and not do the things I don't like. I'm just going to be obedient across the board and do it all. And the blessings of God will come. And so that's what Mike is saying. If the people that want to hear and want to obey, my words are good to them. It brings the blessings of God. Verse 8. Even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. Mike is saying is God's people haven't walked uprightly. Vast majority of them haven't paid attention. In fact, they've risen up as an enemy. Those that want to obey God, they pull the garment off of them, the outer covering. They make fun of them. They ridicule them. They say, you know, it's our way or the highway, so to speak. You're not going to be among us and walk after God. We'll fix you. We'll take care of you. And we'll bring down retribution on you because you're trying to do what God wants you to do. Verse 9, the women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. And what he's saying is, when I chose you as my people, my intent was for my glory to dwell with you forever. I mean, you know, when God chose Abraham as the father of the Jews, and then, you know, generation after generation after generation, God says, I want my glory to dwell with you. I want you to be my people. But he's saying, because of what you've done, because you've turned away from me and turned away from my book and my laws, I'm taking my glory away. Now, in a minute, he's going to say, I'll give it back to you. But he said, I'm taking it away. And I couldn't help but think of our country, how perhaps God is removing his glory from us because we've turned away from him. Verse 10, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. And what he's saying is, you're not going to find rest at home. You're not going to find rest in Jerusalem, because you've done evil. You've turned away from it. You're going to be carried away. You're going to be, like you've taken away homes from other people, your home's going to be taken away from you, and you're going to have to go somewhere else. You're going to be taken into captivity. If a man, verse 11, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and a strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. What Mike is saying is, I know what kind of prophets you want. You want prophets that will lie to you. You want prophets that will say, oh, go ahead and enjoy your wine. You want prophets that and strong drink. And go ahead and do what you want to do. Don't worry about the retribution or the judgment from God. That's the kind of prophets you want. And we're going to see when we over in chapter 3 in just a minute, Micah says, hey, I'm not one of those prophets. I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. And I'll save my comment. I got another comment, but I'll save it till we get over to that verse. Now, verse 12 and 13 are sort of parentheses in these chapters of judgment. It says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah. Bozrah was a chief city in Edom that was known for a lot of sheep. And so God says, I'll gather you all together. You'll be just like a big flock of sheep that shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out of it. And their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. Again, he's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about, yeah, they're going to go into captivity, but the Lord will break up the gate of that nation that's holding you captive, and he'll lead you out back to Jerusalem. He'll lead you back to home. And so, you know, blessings will come. And by the way, that breaker, the one that breaks down the wall, is our breaker, the one that breaks down the wall of sin between us and God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, chapter 3. And I said, again, what Micah's sort of saying is, like, I put those two verses of hope in there for you, but I want to get back to the message of judgment now. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? What he's saying is, hey, rulers and princes, you're the one that's supposed to be protecting justice. You're the one that's supposed to be making sure that justice is meted out. And you have violated that trust. Verse 2, who hate the good and love the evil. And listen to verses 2 and 3. Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones. Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin off from off them. And they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Micah is rebuking the rulers and the princes. He's rebuking them because of the injustice that they have done to their own people. He's calling them cannibals. He says, you're just acting, I mean, what you've done is so atrocious. It's just like cannibals. I mean, you pull people's skin off, you cut the flesh off their bones, and then you break the bones like you're chopping something to put in a pot. He said, that's what you've done to my people, to your people, the people that I have set you up to watch over, that set you up to rule over. And by the way, I will remind you that God sets up rulers. He sets up kings. The Bible tells us he sets up kings. He sets up presidents. But as he does, he holds them accountable for how they treat the people that they rule over and if they've kept the trust that God has given them. And Micah was saying to these rulers, you haven't done that. You have violated the trust. I think it's probably one of the strongest rebukes in the Bible. He's saying you've treated them, you're cannibals. You have threw justice out the window, and you have destroyed the people. Verse 4, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. When the judgment comes, these rulers are going to cry to God. And God says, I'm not going to hear you. I mean, I'll hide my face from you. I mean, people of God always wanted God's face to be toward them. They wanted to know that he was watching them and taking care of them. And God says, when the judgment comes, don't expect that. I mean, I won't hear your prayers. My face won't be turned toward you. I mean, the destruction is coming. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Now he's talking to the prophets. First four verses he was talking to the rulers. Now he's talking to the prophets. He said, you're part of this mess too. You've misled the people. You've led them astray. You've bitten them like a snake bites and have caused them pain and suffering. You cry peace. There's not going to be no, I mean, you're giving people a sense of false security. There's going to be no peace. Judgment is coming. He says, he that putteth not into their mouth, they even prepare war against him. In other words, if the people don't put bread into the prophet's mouth, the prophet comes after them and says, well, I'll get you. They were prophesying, and we're going to talk about it in the next verse too, but they were prophesying for the prophet. Not, you know, prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, not P-R-O-F-P-H-E-T. They were prophesying for the money. And if you didn't pay them, well, they changed the prophecy about you. Verse 6, therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. What God is saying, he's pronouncing condemnation on the prophets. He says, because you've disregarded the truth, because you've delivered your own message, the night of divine judgment is going to come on you. You'll divine no more. I mean, you won't see visions anymore. Even the false ones, you'll be in complete darkness. In fact, the word divine is never used to talk about a true message from God. It always involves something of magic and of the occult and soothsaying. He says, you're not going to be able to see anything or say anything. Then shall the seers, the prophets, be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Like a leper covers their lips and cries out, unclean, unclean, so will the prophets cover their lip, because in shame, they no longer get a vision, they no longer get a message from God. And again, just, you know, a truth for us. God refuses to reveal his will to people that are not obedient. I mean, if we want to know God's will, we've got to be obedient. And I've used the illustration before. You know, God says, okay, here's the next step I want you to take. He won't tell you what the next step is until you take that one. Until you show him that you're going to obey and respond to what he shows you, and be obedient to it. He don't expect him to keep. I mean, he'll put us in that same darkness. We'll ask for guidance and we won't get it because we haven't obeyed the last order that we got. I mean, God hasn't changed. He operates the same way today. Verse 8. Now Micah's contrasting himself to these false prophets. These false prophets are going to be in the dark. They're going to have no message. But he says, but truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. What Micah is saying is, I'm not prophesying my message. I'm not making this up. I'm getting it from the Spirit of God. And because I get my message from the Spirit of God, I have the power to deliver it. It doesn't matter that you tell me to stop. It doesn't matter that you don't listen. I'm going to deliver it. You see, the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet, like the false prophets back in that day and Micah, is that the false prophets made up their message themselves. And because the message didn't come from God, they didn't have any power to deliver it. They just tried to satisfy the people. Well, what do you want to hear? I'll tell you that. A true prophet gets his message from God, and when he gets his message from God, God also gives him the power to deliver it, regardless of the audience, regardless of the reaction. And here's one thing I was thinking about. If I tell you what you want to hear, even though it's true, and I don't tell you what you need to hear, I'm just as guilty as somebody that stands up here and preaches lies. I mean, I could preach all the time about the love of God, and it's true. God loves us. And I've known preachers, that's what they preach on all the time, the love of God. And God is love. And he does love us. But we also need to hear from this book how to live our lives. We also need to be rebuked from this book when we get into stuff that we shouldn't get into. We also need to preach against sin. And if we don't do that, I mean, I could preach messages all the time and tell you the truth in every one of them. But if I don't give you what you need, I'm just as guilty as a preacher that gets up here and preaches lies. And that's what Micah was saying. Verse 9. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes and of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Again, he's going back to the leaders that build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. You've built this city and your houses and the government houses with sin and iniquity. You've taken it away from the people. The heads thereof judge for reward. In other words, the rulers take bribes, and the priests thereof teach for hire. Pay me enough, and I'll teach you whatever you want to hear. And the prophets thereof divine for money. Again, pay me and I'll make sure the prophecy fits you. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. And I think Mike is sort of making fun of him. Say, oh yeah, you take bribes. You take hire. You take money. And you do all that. And yet you still say, well, the Lord is among us and he'll protect us. God is our God. And he'll keep all evil away from us. I mean, these guys missed the boat. They don't understand much about God. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, notice what he's saying. He's talking, again, to the leaders, the rulers, the prophets, the priests. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, because of you, be plowed as a field. And Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. In other words, everything's going to be broken up. Just like you clear a field and plow it before you plant, that's what's going to happen to Jerusalem. The houses that are there and the temple that's in Jerusalem, it's just going to become heaps of stone. And it's going to turn into a hill, just like a hill in a forest. It has nothing on it but trees. Everything's going to be wiped out. And he's saying, because of you. Because you haven't ruled right. Because you haven't preached right. Because you haven't prophesied right. The judgment of God is coming. And so, judgment now. Judgment now. Now, next week, we're going to get in chapters 4 and 5. It may not be next week, but the week after that, we're going to get into chapters 4 or 5. And we're going to talk about where Micah says, hey, all's not lost. Because there is blessing that's coming. It's coming because of not because of your actions. It's coming because of the faithfulness of God. God's going to keep his promise. And he's going to send the Messiah. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And he's going to rule. And so we'll get into that next week. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.